Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Dark Horse by E.A. Culpin, narrated by Travis Baldry. Chapter 1. It was the hottest day on record in New Orleans. The power was out, and some asshole was knocking on my door. The first three things I realized as I woke up from my alcohol-induced nap didn't seem to have anything in common until I sat up and peeled yesterday's paper off my face. The headline urged folks to turn their air conditioners down just a few degrees to ease the pull on the city's power stations and prevent the brownouts rolling through the city all week. Guess nobody listened, because the brownout had become a blackout. Not even the ceiling fan was still running. What that had to do with the impatient pounding on the front door was anybody's guess. Maybe it's the power company. I yawned, stretched, and pulled myself up from the sofa to shuffle over the carpet to the front door, scratching an itch on my chest as I walked. Hold your horses, I'm coming. The knocking stopped. I opened the door only to find two sharp spears pointed at my neck. The women behind the spears glared at me, eyes full of warning.
Move, and you're dead,
snarled the thin, brown-haired white woman on the right. Nice to see you too, Beth. I nodded to the short, muscular black woman at her side, careful not to make any threatening moves. Emma? The sight of her nearly made my throat close. She was dressed in a form-fitting leather top, black skirt with high slits, and boots uniquely suited for ass-kicking, identical to Beth. She'd let her hair grow out, thick and coiled like a nest of snakes, waiting to strike. Underneath all that, though, she was still Emma. My Emma. The warm and caring, no-nonsense cop who made my heart beat faster and my brain turn to mush. Nothing, not even the threatening scowl on her face, would change that. Deep down, she was still who she'd always been. At least, that's what I'd wanted to believe ever since she started working for Loki 3 months ago. He had to have worked some spell over her or brainwashed her. The Emma I knew would never knowingly work for someone who wanted to bring about the end of the world. I shifted my grip on the door to lean on it. You can put down the spears. I'm not going to hurt you unless you give me a reason. Beth's weight shifted, unsure.
Why not? We're sworn enemies.
I sighed. We're technically co-workers, since you're a horseman, and we both know I'd never raise a hand to hurt Emma, under Loki's mind control or not. Plus, it's just too damn hot. What do you ladies want? Beth lowered her spear, and Emma followed suit. I tried not to look at Emma. Every time I did, a rush of memories hit me, and it hurt too bad.
Before we continue, I'd like to remind you that you still owe Loki two names, Beth said.
Two lives, more like. A few months ago, I found myself in a bind and facing death. Permanently. I broke down and did something I hadn't done in years. I prayed. But the universe isn't without a sense of irony, because it wasn't some benevolent god who answered my call. No, they were all either busy fighting among each other or afraid of me. Loki answered, and he demanded I kill three gods for him in exchange for restoring my life. I delivered on one and sort of hoped he'd forget about the other two after I stormed his headquarters and tried to kill him. I would have gotten away with it, too, if not for those meddling Valkyries. But Emma, especially. She showed up under his control, and I lost all the will to fight him since it meant going through her. I cringed. Today? Now? Emma raised a hand.
It's not what you think.
It was the first time I'd heard her speak since she changed sides. I had expected her voice to change for some reason, to become harsher, maybe have a slightly evil cackle added to it. That it hadn't made everything harder for some reason.
Loki wants to meet with you, Lazarus, Emma continued. And once you hear what he's got to say, you'll be glad you did.
I let go of the door to cross my arms. Now, where have I heard that before? Oh, yeah, when Beth gave me her come over to the dark side speech. I glared at Beth. It didn't work then, and it's not going to work now. Under no circumstances will I ever work with Loki again. I already killed a friend for him. I nearly lost my daughter because of him. I trailed off, unwilling to vocalize it, and cleared my throat. I lost everything because of him. If he's got two names, he can deliver them to me himself instead of hiding behind the reminder of people I used to care about. I grabbed the door and prepared to slam it in their faces. Emma reached out and caught the door, her hand just inches from mine.
He didn't lose Remy, Laz, or me. Not yet.
My chest hurt, not because my heart was beating so fast, but because there was a big, ugly scar over my heart, and she just ripped it open again. I let myself meet her eyes. They were big, brown, and full of fire and life, just like always. She looked like Emma, sounded like her even, but this wasn't my Emma. This was Loki's twisted version of her. Knowing that made me heartsick all over again. I shook my head. I don't even know who I'm talking to right now. Emma Knight? Or is it Loki? Or someone else? Beth stepped forward.
If you shut that door, you'll be throwing away your only chance at putting things right, the way they're supposed to be. You wanted Loki to tell you himself? That's what he wants to. He wants to meet with you, Lazarus. No guards, no gimmicks, no tricks. But it has to be tonight, right now. So make your choice.
I looked from Emma to Beth and back again. If they'd wanted to kill me, they could have done it. They didn't even have to knock on my door. They could have just lit the house on fire while I was asleep and walked away. Loki needed no excuse to kill me, especially since I owed him two souls. That still didn't mean I wasn't walking into a trap. Loki only did what was good for Loki. Still, if he was willing to extend an olive branch, who was I to turn my nose up at it? Maybe he'd come to his senses about this whole end-of-the-world business. And maybe I'd sprout wings and become the Tooth Fairy. I sighed. Let me get my pants on. 5 minutes later, I met them outside, metal staff in hand, dressed in a pair of shorts and an old white t-shirt I found with a pair of gingerbread men on it that read, "The Walking Bread." The two of them were standing next to an ordinary-looking white sedan. Beth pulled open the driver's side door and held it, indicating that I'd be driving, probably so they could make sure I wouldn't bail. Emma took the front seat, while Beth slid into the back. I sighed, got into the car, and shut the door. "Where to?" Beth pointed out toward the road. "And they say men suck at communicating." Beth directed me across the river toward the business district. That late, it was a ghost town. Fog clung to the upper stories of black and copper high-rises. Tinted windows reflected passing headlights below in blurry yellow blobs. I glanced at Emma, whose attention was fixed forward, her stare hard and distant. What must this be like for her? Did she remember anything about me? About us? She said I hadn't lost her, but everything else said otherwise. I hadn't seen or heard from her in 3 months. Usually, when a woman ghosts a guy like that, it means things are over. Maybe it was all part of the act to get me to go with them. I wanted so badly to see her in there, yet I saw no spark of recognition when I looked into her eyes. Only anger and violence, as if there was a war going on in her head. Maybe Loki had totally erased her memory. If so, what did that feel like, to have no past to remember, no future to live for? There would only be the present, Loki's orders to obey. Or maybe she remembered everything. She'd given me the cold shoulder after she found out what I had to do to Hades. Emma didn't tolerate criminals, murderers least of all. I knew we'd be over after that, but for her to cross over to the other side and join Loki? That was a stretch. No, the only explanation that made sense was that she didn't know me, and that might be something I could fix. I cleared my throat. "How about some music? Everybody likes music." I leaned forward and switched on the radio. The latest from Imagine Dragons was on. Go figure. It was summer in America, which meant you couldn't go anywhere without hearing them on the radio. Not that I was complaining. Could have had worse on the radio in the middle of the night. Emma had never been a fan of them, so I switched the station and landed on Journey singing the chorus of Separate Ways.
Stop that, Beth said. Turn it off.
I sighed and shut off the radio. Now I know for sure, at least. I don't know who you are, but we can't be friends if you can't jam out to Journey, Beth.
We're not friends, Beth said. Turn here.
We were once. I turned where she indicated, taking us onto LaSalle Street. We were down by the old abandoned charity hospital. Maybe that's where she was taking me. Interesting place for Loki to be holed up. I glanced at Emma. What did you mean earlier? That I hadn't lost you yet? Her lips parted as if she were about to answer me, but Beth cut in.
There, park.
All business. Guess I wouldn't make any headway trying to talk to her after all. Still, something about that stare made me want to believe she was trying to remember. Maybe there was still a spark of something there. If only I could figure out how to fan the flame, she'd break through and see Loki for who he really was. It didn't even matter to me if Emma took me back, so long as she was free from whatever control Loki had over her. She needed to be free to make her own decisions, not forced into servitude. The very idea made me wrap my fingers tight around the steering wheel until it groaned under the pressure. The parking spot she directed me to was right on the street, next to a huge cement building with 13 floors, whose windows had long ago been busted out. Now, graffiti-covered chipboard and rebar blocked most of the windows. In the darkness, the main wing towered high, blocking out the moon. With all the lights coming from the surrounding city blocks, the darkness of this one stood out. Once, the charity hospital had been a busy hospital, treating thousands of patients each day. Founded in the 1700s with money from a dead sailor's will, it must have been one of the oldest operating hospitals in the country when Katrina hit. But when the levees broke and the floodwaters rose, the Mississippi and the Gulf gobbled it up just the same as all the other historical landmarks. There'd been a number of assessments done on the place, determining if it'd be cost-effective to renovate it in the wake of all that damage or just tear it down. Renovation won out, but unfortunately the city just didn't have the funds, so the hospital remained gutted and empty, a ghost of its former self. I parked and got out to stare up at the dead, water-stained concrete. Funny place to meet a god.
You were expecting a palace?
Emma grabbed her spear and shut the door. I don't know what I was expecting exactly, but definitely not a waterlogged ruin. Emma said nothing, choosing instead to hop over the barrier. I climbed over the barrier with a grunt, landing on the other side loudly. Where are the rest of the Valkyries?
Watching,
Beth said simply as she joined me. She tugged on the heavy iron chains that held the door shut, and they came loose in her hands. They must have been for show. The door creaked as Emma opened it, revealing unyielding darkness.
After you, Lazarus.
I gripped the door, holding it just above her hand. You wouldn't lead me into an ambush now, would you, Emma? For the first time, something similar to the shadow of a smile touched her lips.
Maybe. The only way you'll ever know is to go inside.
And if I change my mind, you going to stop me? Her smile sprouted, as genuine as ever.
Why? You want to see if I can take you with my new and improved powers?
I shrugged. The Emma I knew was into guns, not spears. Emma gestured back the way we'd come.
You're free to go at any time. But if you do, you'll be turning your back on people who need your help. Tell me you're not too far gone that you'd do that.
Too far gone? So she did remember what I'd done to Hades. How much had Loki used that to his advantage, though? He could have told her any story he liked. While it was true I had killed Hades, my back was to the wall. I'd only done it to get to Remy when she was in danger. I felt awful about it, but I made a decision. I had to protect my kid. Besides, death was relative when dealing with gods, horsemen, and necromancers. Emma ushered me into the hospital. The air smelled musty and old, and it only got worse the further in we went. Old papers littered the floor. Graffiti covered everything from floor to ceiling. The old security station at the entrance had been smashed, the pieces carried away for who knew what. Remnants of old rat-eaten sleeping bags packed one corner of the lobby area, but no one had slept in them in a long time. We passed two boarded-up elevator shafts that looked like someone had tried to force their way through without any luck. As for us, we took the stairs. The old corridor was dark and hot as an oven. If it was 90 outside, it was easily 120 in that corridor. I tugged at my collar and wished I'd had the chance to bring a water bottle with me. Climbing those stairs in the heat was going to be murder. Beth clicked on a flashlight, the beam dancing through the dusty darkness to settle on the landing above.
"Third floor," she advised. "We should get moving."
I gripped the banister, half expecting it to crumble in my hands. It didn't, but it did give a little more than I expected. A good squeeze and pieces of it might break off in my hand. Hopefully, the stairs were in better shape. They groaned and complained under my weight, but the first one didn't give, so I climbed on up, carefully. "About what happened with Hades," I said, slowing my pace. "You know I didn't have a choice, right, Emma?" Beth pushed me forward.
"Get moving." "I know," Emma said. "I understand."
"You do?" I slowed my pace even more.
"The past doesn't matter," she recited, as if from memory. "The only thing that matters is the future."
"And what about the future of the entire human race?" I turned my eye to Ire behind me. "If Loki has his war, won't we all be toast? He wants Ragnarok, to end the world. How can there be any kind of future after that?" Beth halted on the step behind me and tilted her head to the side. Emma just one step behind. Emma grabbed Beth's flashlight and pointed it at the wall, highlighting black decay on the stairway beside us.
"Look at this place. It's rotten, broken, falling down. And the city just left it to decay like a body lying in the street. Do you know why? Because there's no point in fixing it, or anything, really. Fix it up, and there'll just be another hurricane, another disaster, more destruction, pain, and death. It's an endless cycle, one I witnessed again and again. For every bad guy we took off the street, four more would walk away. It was like trying to plug a leak in the Titanic as it went down."
I stared at the blackened, graffiti-covered wall. "There are still good people that want to turn things around."
"I'm not saying there aren't."
Emma passed Beth and placed a hand on my shoulder.
"But aren't you tired of fighting? Don't you just want it all to be over? Wipe the slate clean?" "The only possible ending is an extinction, Lazarus," Beth said. "And wouldn't a controlled extinction, one in which a small percentage of people survive to build a new world, a better world, be preferable to total annihilation?"
I shook my head. "Your whole argument is based on a false assumption. The world doesn't have to end. Humans don't need to go extinct."
"No, we don't need to."
Beth took the flashlight back and used it to nudge me forward.
"But it's too late for anything else. All you have to do to know that is to watch the news. Climate change, melting polar ice caps. Soon, it'll be widespread famine, disease, war, death. You of all people should know that's how it all ends for us. You should be working with Loki to save your people."
"Our people," I corrected. "You might not remember, but you're still as human as me. Just because we're horsemen doesn't mean we have to accept the apocalypse as an inevitability. We've gone thousands of years without one. There's no reason to assume we can't just keep on going. Humans are stubborn. We'll survive, or if we go, we'll go kicking and screaming. I wouldn't have it any other way." We finally reached the third floor, marked by a decaying plastic sign. The fire door hung on its hinges, twisted as if some explosion had blown it open. Pale light emanated from the hallway, the source of which I couldn't make out.
In,
Beth commanded. I went. The third floor was barely recognizable as a hospital corridor. A hallway stretched either way, with holes in the walls at seemingly random intervals. Some of them might have been doors, but others were just holes made when looters came to rip the wiring out of the walls. The two Valkyries led me through what must have once been an operating theater. Charity Hospital had once been a teaching hospital, which meant medical students shuffled through every day to watch experienced doctors do their work. I stepped into the circular room with its sloped floors and broken chairs all facing toward the center. An old metal operating table sat at the bottom, a broken light hanging above it. Seated on that operating table was the trickster god himself, Loki. He stayed where he was as I entered, hands clasped over one knee. Despite donning a 21st century suit, shaving and combing his hair, he still looked like the epitome of a Norse god with those thick shoulders and the sharp chin. He looked up at me, his expression grave.
Welcome, Lazarus. Thank you, ladies. You can wait outside.
You sure that's smart? I asked, sliding along the uppermost row of chairs. Being in a room alone with me. You are aware that I want to kill you, right?
Absolutely. However, I'm willing to hedge my bets. You won't strike at me until you've at least heard what I have to say. Besides, you'll need me. At least until you know what I've done to Emma.
He didn't smirk or smile. I wished he had so I could treat him like the villain I knew he was, but Loki was like that, tricky bastard. I stopped in front of a set of stairs that led straight down to where he stood. The auditorium doors slammed shut, sounding too much like prison gates. And what is it you want from me, Loki? We're not exactly friends, and you know I'm not going to just come over to your side. You've got nothing left to hold over my head.
No, nothing like that.
He waved a hand through the air and stood.
Do you recall Aikelos, the Titan of Nightmares?
Boy, did I, and I thought killing gods was a tough job. Taking out the Titan had taken nearly everything I had.
Sure, what about it? I'm sure you're aware Aikelos wasn't the only Titan to escape their prison in the Greek underworld.
I shifted my grip on the staff in my hands and paced down toward him a few steps. No, you decided to let all of them free. I figure they're all working for you in some capacity or another, trying to bring about Ragnarok. When the time is right, you'll pit your titans against the gods in a battle that'll destroy the world, or most of it. How am I doing so far?
Mostly right, he admitted with a shrug. Except for one thing. Not all of the titans are working for me. It's true I was able to cut a deal with most of them. They're simple creatures. Most signed on for the chance of vengeance alone.
Most? I stopped, planting the staff. What do you mean, most? Loki ran his fingers over the dusty operating table.
There was one titan I was unable to sway, no matter what I offered him. A titan so bent on destruction and chaos that even I couldn't contain him.
I suppressed a shiver. If the trickiest trickster of them all couldn't contain him, what the hell was I dealing with?
Which titan is this, exactly?
Loki folded his hands behind his back.
His name is Typhon, the father of all monsters, and if you don't help me stop him, he'll wipe this city off the map in a hurricane that will make Katrina look like a summer rain shower.
Chapter 2. I tried to imagine what such a storm would look like. Katrina was the worst hurricane in my lifetime. While I knew deadlier storms had hit the coast, I had no point of reference for such an event. A storm brought by a titan would be catastrophic in ways no city could prepare for or recover from, not even New Orleans. But that was Loki's story. He had yet to present any proof that this was true. Could be he was twisting things, trying to convince me to kill someone who didn't actually need killing. Of course, if he wanted to do that, he had only to give me the two names I owed him. No need for such an elaborate story.
Why me?
I asked, shifting the staff in my hand. You've got Beth. I'm going to assume you've also likely got access to Pestilence if you want it, plus dozens of other Titans under your command. Titans, a god or two, and a few horsemen should be more than enough to take out one Storm Titan, right?
Loki tilted his head to one side and squinted. None of us has ever defeated a Titan before. True, there are gods who were involved in the first Titan War still living, but that was before my time. As for the other Titans, they're unwilling to assist in this matter.
They're scared. I fought to keep myself from laughing. The all-powerful, scary Titans everyone was so terrified of were afraid of this guy. They'd turned and run away at the first mention of his name, leaving Loki with no choice but to reach out to the only person in recorded history to kill a Titan. Me. He needed me, which meant I could cut a deal to my advantage.
And Beth and Felicia must have no idea what they're doing. Am I right?
Loki nodded once.
And you just expected that I'd march in here and agree to help you.
Why? Because we're such good friends?
Because New Orleans is your home. You're not the sort of man who would let a monster destroy a city out of spite for me.
I crossed my arms. Why do you care if New Orleans gets wrecked? Aren't you on board to destroy the whole world anyway? New Orleans is kind of part of the world, you know. If I help you, I'm just delaying the inevitable.
No, you want my help, you've got to agree to give up on pursuing Ragnarok.
I can't do that, Loki said, shaking his head. Ragnarok isn't something I can just walk away from. It was foretold. Prophecies must be fulfilled. When the time is right, it's not yet time for the destruction to begin.
Not until you've gotten all your ducks in a row, huh?
His silence was the only answer I needed. Loki was on board for the apocalypse, but things hadn't lined up just right yet. He was waiting for more pieces to fall into place, and if Typhon wrecked things before he was ready, it'd screw Loki over. That should have made my decision easy. Walk away and let Typhon destroy New Orleans, and maybe I'd have a better chance of stopping Loki long term. He'd look weak in front of his allies because he couldn't control Typhon or manipulate me, and his whole plan would fall apart. I didn't even have to lift a finger. Just turn the other way and let thousands die. I couldn't do it. Well, if Loki isn't willing to give up his apocalyptic dreams, maybe I can get something else. I gripped my staff, planted it on the next stair down, and climbed down to stand closer to Loki.
What do I get for helping you?
He arched an eyebrow. You mean besides saving your beloved city? I will waive the two other names you owe me.
And?
And nothing. I don't have to do that. You're going to help me, Lazarus, no matter what I offer you. Leaving the innocent people of New Orleans to die isn't in you. Whatever offer I make you, you'll accept it.
I gritted my teeth, knowing he was right.
He stepped forward, stopping just out of arm's reach. How about I sweeten the deal by letting you work with your old flame? Maybe the two of you can find some common ground and come to an understanding. He raised his fingers as if to snap and paused. Oh, that's right. Emma and Beth are both old flames of yours, aren't they? Seems like you're a dangerous man to know. Ah, what the hell. Have them both. I don't care. Two is always better than one. Am I wrong? He snapped his fingers before I could answer, and the doors at the top of the medical theater opened. Beth stepped in one side, and Emma came in the other. You two will assist the Pale Horseman, Loki commanded. Whatever he needs, make sure he gets it. Spare no expense and no luxury. He turned his back to me.
We're not finished, Loki.
I stepped toward him. He smirked at me over his shoulder. I believe we are for now. Whatever you need to know, Emma and Beth can fill you in. They'll take care of you until I'm ready to check in again. The clock is ticking, Lazarus. I'd get busy if I were you. Emma stopped on my right while Beth came up on my left. I glanced at each of them before turning back to Loki, only to find him gone. The bastard had disappeared the second I looked away. Fine, I thought.
turning and stomping back up the stairs. He's made a mistake, giving me...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?